Amazing grace.
All right, that little chorus, bless thy word.
Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Turn over, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Turn over to chapter 4 and verse 4. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Now note those words, then shall every man have praise of God. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, in thinking about our morning sessions, as comparing them with the night sessions, I thought, since at night we will be considering something of the high priestly ministry of Christ and the cities of refuge and something of what we have and who we are in Christ, I thought maybe I should balance that with the thoughts that I will share with you these morning sessions concerning the judgment seat of Christ and our responsibilities here and now. Knowledge brings responsibility, doesn't it? And we are responsible creatures. We are ambassadors for Christ. Now, we have a living, blessed hope. Peter tells us this in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 3. We have a living hope because we have a living Lord Jesus Christ. And we look forward to that time when we will be with the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump," and so on. I have known some places who thought about putting that verse on the nursery door. "Behold, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." But we do have a living, blessed hope. We know that one day that shout will come and we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It will be for us a change of position. We will be caught up. We will be raptured to meet the Lord in the air. We see this not only in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Paul said, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." But he goes on to tell us, "But the Lord shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." It will be for us a change of position. It will be for us a change of condition. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us," wrote the Apostle John. And he goes on to say that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, that does not mean that we will possess the attributes of deity. Of course not. And some imply that by their teaching. I have heard some of these television preachers say that we are going to be gods. Well, that does not mean we're going to possess the attributes of deity, but we're going to be like Christ. We will have glorified bodies. And we will ever be with the Lord. So it will be for us a change of position and a change of condition. In thinking of the rapture, and we're thinking particularly of the judgment seat of Christ, which follows that, but in thinking of the rapture, I think of the Jewish harvest in the Old Testament days. You might remember, before the harvest took place, the first fruits were gathered and presented to the Lord as an offering. Now, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. The Lord Jesus said, is it in John chapter 12? "Except a corn of wheat die, fall into the ground and die, abideth alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit." But the Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. And so, in thinking of this time when we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, we think first of all of the Lord Jesus being the first fruits. He lives forever. He said, "I was dead, behold, I am alive forevermore." He's the first fruits of them that slept. It is true the Lord Jesus raised several different ones from the dead as he was fulfilling his earthly ministry, but we presume, and I believe rightly so, that they died again. But the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead to die no more. He is the first fruits. But then we think of, and you'll read of the first fruits in Leviticus chapter 23. I say this for the benefit of some who might be listening to a tape. Nothing aggravates me more than to be listening to a tape and the brother might give a particular point and he will refer to some scripture without giving the reference. And it makes me go to the concordance, and that in itself is good. But it makes me go to the concordance and look to find the verse that he referred to so I can have the scripture reference. But first fruits, Leviticus chapter 23, you'll see that in verses 10 through 20. But then we think of the main harvest. We read of this in Leviticus, such portions as Leviticus chapter 19. You remember God instructed the Israelites, when you harvest your fields, that is, when the main harvest takes place, he said, round the corners, and you leave some on purpose. You round those corners and leave some for the poor, for the unfortunate. And I believe the main harvest corresponds to that time which we speak of as the rapture, when all believers will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I'm inclined to believe that it will be the time when Old Testament saints will be raptured as well. If we disagree, let's disagree without being disagreeable. I'm inclined to believe that when the rapture takes place, Old Testament saints, New Testament saints alike, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I believe that will be the main harvest. Well, some of you might ask, will people not be saved during the tribulation period, that seven-year period of time that follows the rapture? Yes, we see in Revelation chapter 7 an innumerable company coming out of the tribulation who had washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. There will be a great number saved during the tribulation period. Will not ones die during the tribulation period for the cause of Christ? Yes. Ones will be put to death because of their identification with and their stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, aren't they going to be resurrected? Yes, and we read of this in Revelation chapter 20. And we see where their resurrection is part of the first resurrection. Revelation chapter 20. Their resurrection is part of the first resurrection. There are two resurrections. When we read John chapter 5, it seems that there's just one resurrection. But John is just recording the fact that there will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. He is not concerned in writing that about the difference of time in between the two. But we believe the Word of God teaches there will be two resurrections, one for all the saved and one for the unsaved. And in Revelation chapter 20, we read of that time, we believe, after the millennial reign of Christ, when all the unsaved will be raised. All the dead shall be raised and stand before God. And then they will be judged according to the books that God will open, and they will be cast from God's presence into the lake of fire. How sad and how solemn. But from Revelation chapter 20, we gather that those who will be resurrected, those believers, those saints who will be resurrected at the close of the tribulation period, have part in the first resurrection. And so we have these three parts of the overall first resurrection: Christ the first fruits, the main harvest, or the rapture, when we'll all be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and then those saints who will be raised during the tribulation period or at the end of the tribulation period, who will be the gleaning, will be the gleaning. Thank God for all who have part in the first resurrection. I'm so thankful I will be in that number. Aren't you? I'm so glad. All right, but we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It will be for us a change of position. It will be for us a change of condition. Now, we have read these verses pertaining to the judgment seat of Christ. We Christians are going to be judged. Someone has said that the Apostle Paul had 2 days on his calendar: this day and that day. Now, I like that. The Apostle Paul lived each day in light of that day when he would stand before the Lord. In fact, when you examine the writings of Paul, you will notice, as you have noticed, I'm sure, but you will notice that the Apostle Paul lived in light of that moment when he would stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and be judged as a servant. And in thinking of this, we are reminded of the fact that we have a work to do here and now. We are servants. We are bond slaves. We are ambassadors for Christ, and we have a work to do. We have lessons to learn. We have objectives, goals to reach for our blessed Lord. But there is coming that day when we believers are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to be judged as servants. Now, I believe this examination can be summed up in a threefold way. When we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, it will be for us a time of revealing, a time of reviewing, and a time of rewarding. And I believe there is primarily a twofold purpose for the judgment seat of Christ. I believe it will be a time when everything will be put into the right perspective and judged correctly by the Lord Himself, who maketh no mistake. The Lord is going to see to it that before we move on into the marriage supper of the Lamb, that every flaw, every inconsistency, every misunderstanding is removed. Everything made right at the judgment seat of Christ. All adjustments are made. Turn to Matthew chapter 25, please. Matthew chapter 25. And you might want to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and have both of these portions of Scripture open. Just hold up the pages in between these two portions. Matthew chapter 25 and Luke chapter 19. Because in these two portions of Scripture we have parables. They are similar, but they are different. We do have two parables. In Matthew chapter 25, looking down at verse 14, we read, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And here I am taking for granted that most of you, if not all of you, are somewhat familiar with both of these portions of Scripture. But here we are told that the kingdom of heaven is like a man going into a far country. Before he goes, he calls his servants to himself. And he distributes to these servants, to one, 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. And you read on. He wanted his servants to serve him during his absence. He wanted his servants to occupy for him, to put these talents to use. And when he returned, they were called into his presence. It was a time of revealing. It was a time of reviewing. It was a time of rewarding. And as each one was judged, then each one was rewarded. To the one who had gained 5 talents, he said in verse 21, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And the other who took his 2 talents and who gained 2 more talents that we see in verse 22, the Lord said to him, or this one, his Lord said, we believe it pictures the Lord Jesus, but the Lord said to him, I will make thee ruler over many things, and so on. Now, I believe this portion of Scripture emphasizes the sovereignty of God. You know, it seems to me that those who stress the sovereignty of God to the point that they do in holding to the strong Calvinistic viewpoints, those who hold to the, as they would say, the sovereignty of God, would look at us as if we don't believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe in the sovereignty of God, don't you? This portion of Scripture emphasizes the sovereignty of God. If he wants to give 5 talents to one, that's up to him. God is accountable to no one. He is sovereign. That word means he is super. He's mighty. He's above all. He's accountable to no one. He does what he does. He does what he wills, and he's accountable to no one. He's sovereign. If he wants to give 5 talents to one, that's up to him. If he wants to give 2 talents to another, that's up to him. But now in Luke chapter 19, you remember the Lord Jesus was going from Jericho to Jerusalem, And this was the last trip for him before he was put to death. And so as they were going from Jericho to Jerusalem, you remember the disciples asked if he would restore the kingdom at this time. You will see this on down in verse 11. And so the Lord gave to his disciples a parable. He said, verse 12, "A certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return." Now this speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our blessed Lord is seated upon his Father's throne. We see this in Revelation chapter 3. When the Lord Jesus was here, we see in John chapter 6, they were so overwhelmed at his miracle working power, they said, "Let's make him a king. We'll give him a kingdom." Oh no, he's not going to receive his kingdom from the hands of men. When Satan tempted him, he took him up on a high mountain, you remember, and showed to him the kingdoms of the world. And Satan said, "I'll give you all of this if you'll bow down before me." Oh no, he's not going to receive his kingdom from the hands of Satan. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he bought this world. He bought this world. You remember Peter said in 2 Peter, is it, chapter 2, in verse 1, speaking of the false teachers, he said, "They deny the Lord," who what? "Who bought them." And this world belongs to the Lord. It's his by creative right. It's his by redemptive right. But he's gone to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. God is going to give it to him. And he's sitting upon his Father's throne, awaiting that time when he will come and sit upon his throne here. But in Luke chapter 19, this one who went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return called his servants unto him. As I said, similar to Matthew 25, but different. Because here there were 10 servants, and to each one he gave one talent. And I believe this portion emphasizes the responsibility of man. The sovereignty of God is stressed in Matthew 25. The responsibility of man is stressed in Luke chapter 19. They were all alike. They were all given one pound or one talent. And when he returned, they were called to him, and once again it was for them a time of revealing, a time of reviewing, and a time of rewarding. So I believe the judgment seat of Christ will be not only for the purpose of putting everything right, all inconsistencies, all flaws, all adjustments made, but it will be a time that it will be determined what our responsibilities will be when we come to rule and reign with Christ on this earth. The judgment seat of Christ will be to determine what administrative responsibilities we will have when we come to rule and reign on this earth with our blessed Lord. We'll come on our honeymoon, as it were, with the bridegroom, and we will have administrative responsibilities. And the judgment seat of Christ, I believe, will determine what those administrative responsibilities will be. So, it's time to close, and we'll just leave it right there until in the morning. The judgment seat of Christ will be a time of revealing, a time of reviewing, and a time of rewarding. Now, in the morning, we will emphasize the fact that every believer will experience three judgments. And I'll just give this to you to think about during the day. We have been judged as sinners. We'll never be judged as sinners again. I do not believe that our sins will be brought out at the judgment seat of Christ. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We have been judged as sinners. We are being judged here and now as sons. We are going to be judged as servants at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll get into that in the morning. We'll have a word of prayer and then see if there are any announcements that should be made. Now, Father, we do thank Thee for this day. How wonderful, Father, to walk in the consciousness of Thy presence. We thank Thee for who Thou art. We thank Thee for Thy well-beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for all that He is to Thee and all that we are and have in Him. We pray, Father, Thy good hand of blessing upon us this day as we move about. But may we do so realizing that we're not our own, we're bought with a price. May we realize that we're servants of our living Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray for those who are sick and laid aside. Thou knowest the needs of such ones, and we pray that Thou wilt be to each one what they need. We thank Thee for our time here this morning. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a good day. The Lord bless you.